afternoon, and thank you for the introduction. Okay, so here's my disclosure. I basically have no relationships to disclose. So today I'll be talking to you about my organization's experience in developing a standardized community health status assessment tool. And this is the flow of the presentation here. So a little background. The Army definitely is different from the general population in terms of the ways that we deliver health care and the ways that we deliver public health. A lot of the changes that we've experienced over the last 2 years, there's a lot of parallels in what's currently occurring in the general population. All of it starts with the national prevention strategy. The implications of that for national health care is the Affordable Care Act. The translation has been a bit different for Army medicine. The mandates, the priorities, the leading health indicators, all of that was incorporated into the Army Medicine 2020 campaign. And that's a huge paradigm shift for Army medicine. The mission of Army medicine has been for more than 200 years to support readiness for soldiers so that they're able to fight and win America's wars. And the ways that that's accomplished really varies depending on politics, the momentum that's going on in the general environment. There's a lot of factors that influence that. But what we're seeing now, as many of you are seeing, is a emphasis on prevention, which is a change from the emphasis on treatment that we're accustomed to. So the way that our leadership has decided to implement this change is to build the change on a performance triad. So we're getting back to basics, essentially. We're looking at the importance of sleep, nutrition, and activity. No breakthrough science here. We all know the importance of those things. But when you're talking about military healthcare providers, it's huge, because if you can't write a script for it, are you really treating it? If you're not generating RVUs for it, are you really addressing it? And so it's a huge paradigm shift. And so we're looking, it's perfect for us, me as an Army public health nurse, I'm thinking, finally, something that we can sink our teeth into. This is what we're made for. This is what we do. Our objective as Army public health professionals is to influence the life space, but that's now the mission of the Army medicine team. So in that, we're looking to influence the life space. That's the phrase that we've coined here. And that's working to influence those areas where our beneficiaries, which are not just soldiers, but family members, DOD civilians, children, those people who may not be beneficiaries of our healthcare system, but that work on the installation, be it as contractors or people who work in organizations that reside on the installation. And just as an analogy to where our focus is going, there are 525,900 minutes in a year, okay? Of that time, the average American only spends 100 minutes in the office of a healthcare provider. So 525,900 minutes, and of that time, only 100 are spent in the office of a healthcare provider. So our Surgeon General is looking to influence that life space, that 525,000 minutes, looking to influence that. And you can't do that in the brick-and-mortar facility. So again, hooray for public health, because that's what we always look to do. So now we have a platform for doing it. As this strategic plan was rolled out, the leadership realized, hey, we've got to figure out a way to capture this. Community health assessment, there's nothing new about it. There's nothing innovative about it. But when you look at the strategic projects, such as the performance triad, and look at the level of visibility. This is a Department of Defense-wide thing that had to be approved. So it's not as simple as the staff going out to just assess the needs of a community so that it can sit, you know, that assessment can sit on the shelf. It's big, big, high-level leadership really looking to understand how these new interventions are impacting the health of our population. The leadership now realizes that the health of the military is not separate from the health of the nation. I think for a long time we believed that just because our mission was so different. We believed that what we saw in our populations was unique. So, yeah, what we see on the battlefield and deployment-related conditions, traumatic brain injury, we definitely have some unique issues going on. But for the most part, issues with obesity, issues with diabetes and heart disease are not much different than what we see in the general population. So our guiding questions as we sought out to meet this new demand to really capture what's going on in our community, we wanted to understand, well, what are we doing? Because again, it's not a new idea. It's not a novel concept, this community health assessment. So we looked at how well we were performing. And yes, our staff was out assessing the needs of the community, but there were several barriers and enabling factors that we hadn't quite appreciated. And so as this started out as a process to just put something in place, we really began to understand the implications for workforce development and the implications for collaboration and partnership. And I'll speak to some of those as we continue to go through. But in that, because if you look at all the many resources that are available for community health assessment, you won't find one standardized assessment tool. So how do we accomplish this? For the 7.2 million beneficiaries on the 52 installations worldwide, how do you do that? What do you need to think about to make that happen? Because I think it's bigger than creating a policy and developing a tool. And that's what we found to be true. So we looked at across the enterprise how well we were doing. And we found three really model programs, the first being Fort Belvoir Virginia Community Hospital. So they're really unique. This is the nation's capital. It's inside the nation's capital region. 90% of the beneficiaries for Fort Belvoir reside off the installation. And so when you think about military communities, this isn't a traditional military community. So when they conducted their community health assessment, they had to reach out to three different county health departments to retrieve data. And this was unusual for us, and it helped us to appreciate some of the challenges in identifying the community and assessing the health needs of the population. But they were able to do it because they reached out to those civilian counterparts in those communities. A Fort Riley community health status assessment that was conducted by the Fort Riley Department of Public Health. Really unique situation in that Fort Riley is the first preventive medicine health department in the Department of Defense that has sought FAB accreditation. They're the very first. And so in doing that, I've got some head nods here, in doing that, they were in a really unique position for the Department of Defense to appreciate what exactly the requirements are for meeting this standard and what it took to meet those standards. And it was a really fortunate situation because the surrounding counties were also seeking accreditation. So some lessons learned there in collaboration. Lastly, Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and the Comanche County Health Department, they worked together to help Comanche County Health Department achieve accreditation. And they were really a model for how collaboration between local public health partners and military public health partners can work together, not just for meeting FAB accreditation standards, but for really getting at the issues and the concerns of the community and developing strategic plans to address those health issues. So when we looked at all of it together, the real key here, and all of you I'm sure are familiar with this chart, is the capacity of the public health system. For so long, we've looked at public health in the military as what goes on inside the gates, and managing those disease, non-battle injuries, the things that we as green suiters are made today in my savvy little blazer jacket, the things that we can do to address the health needs, but it's so much bigger than us. And I say this like it's a revelation, right? But for us, it has been. And you'll see that this is really my big takeaway, because public health is more than we as individuals bring to the table. And I say this because I invite you to engage as well, because our community members live in your communities. They work in your communities. They're active and do things in your community. So we'd like to think that we have a vested interest together, all of these agencies and you yourselves. So the project goal, again, going back to it, developing the standardized process. So historically, the community health needs assessment is something that's done by military hospitals to identify health needs, but the majority of the data that was collected was health indicators. So you wanted to know how many broken ankles you had, how many children were hurt on, I got the head nods, I'm loving it, how many children were hurt on playgrounds, things like that. But as we understand, health is bigger than that. So this new process now includes looking at social and economic factors. You may be surprised to think that there are many in uniform that don't think that access to care is an issue because we all have insurance. You know, that many that think that nutrition for children isn't really an issue because we all get paid. But those are still very real issues. So again, this is bringing to light some things that we really haven't acknowledged were an issue for our population, but this is giving us an opportunity to really begin to address those things. So we established our assessment process, not unlike anything you've ever seen before, but at the beginning of this process, understanding that it requires identification of partners and stakeholders. Some of the major barriers that we realized were that we hadn't had standardized metrics across the enterprise. Knowing that there are 52 installations with 52 different commanders, everyone thinks something else is something different is important. So to standardize something like that on that scale is a challenge and has been, but we were able to do that. We were also able to pull together some centralized data sources, which is huge. And we conducted a pilot evaluation. We looked at three separate sites, very different sites. Landstuhl, Germany being one, Vicenza, Italy, and Joint Base San Antonio, Texas. So obviously you can tell just by looking at that. But we wanted to make sure that as we piloted this process that we understood the challenges that our staff would face, because not all of them are Fort Bragg, and not all of them are Fort Stewart, those standard military installations that you may hear about in the news. Places like Landstuhl have unique challenges because their local health departments there in Germany don't think it's important to communicate. And so when you have a soldier who's HIV positive or who has chlamydia or gonorrhea and who seeks care out on the economy, that's an issue, right? So those are unique challenges. The same for bases like Vicenza, Italy, where the local government does the lead testing and those results aren't always communicated back to the leadership. Definitely interesting challenges. And there are things that kind of fall off the radar for people who need to track it, but who continue to run up against the barriers. Joint Base San Antonio is unique in that it's not just Army, it's Air Force. So we were able to really get some great data out of there and to begin to identify those barriers so that we could address them. The evaluation results, they were obvious. We found that, you know, because of the reasons that I mentioned, there were several installations that had access to data issues, couldn't get to it. And other installations, people just didn't collect the data, like the lead sampling. It just wasn't collected. A big challenge was staff working in isolation. It's a particular challenge when you're on a military installation and you're the maybe one or two public health personnel on the base, and the mission of that installation is something very tactical. Your voice gets lost in that, so that was a huge issue. The last big one was defining community. Again, I mentioned places like Fort Belvoir where 90% of the residents lived off the base. What is the community in that instance? And so I'm here today not because we've cracked the code on any of this, but this process has really given us an appreciation of what those barriers are, things that we never really realized before. So the practice implications, things that we've learned from this whole process, it has really gone back to the ABCs of strategic planning. And going into this, hadn't really thought of it in that way, that this was strategic planning. But when you have your current state and where you want to be, it's really important to understand what the barriers and enabling factors were. I mentioned what those were for our population data, partnership, and really just kind of getting lost in the shuffle. So what I'd like to communicate, and again, just kind of reiterate for you all, which I think is important, is that the health of our communities, military communities, is not separate from yours. And so I encourage you, just as we were able to see at Fort Riley and Fort Sill and Fort Belvoir, I encourage you to work with us as we reach out to you as well, as we now know that that's the way that we can affect the health of our populations. And then to understand, too, as middle management personnel, understanding the workforce implications of something like this, something that is generally standard, you know, things roll down the pike, things that you need to implement, but really having an appreciation for what those barriers are to the workforce, I think that has huge quality implications. And that's it. So thank you.